Welcome to another edition of Just the Truth. Glad to have you join me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio. To lose weight for the last time, visit myphdweightloss.com. Finally, Democrats and Republicans have found something they can agree on. Several congressional lawmakers are denouncing anti-Semitism on college campuses, particularly Columbia University, where anti-Israel protesters briefly took over a part of the Ivy League school campus, resulting in hundreds of arrests. We have the details on that. The Chicago City Council has given a green light to an extra $70 million for the care of illegal immigrants in the Windy City, and residents are not happy. Opening arguments started yesterday in President Donald Trump's so-called hush money trial, and even a CNN panel recognized the lunacy of the court when the judge dismissed the proceedings early because an alternate jury had a toothache and needed to go to the dentist. Yet the judge has not agreed to allow President Trump to attend his son Barron's high school graduation. And Joe Biden has been predicting severe consequences of climate change since his first day in office when he signed multiple executive orders pandering to the climate change hysteria. Michael Dorsiewicz, writing for Newsmax, lists its six biggest failed climate predictions of the past. You're going to want to hear these. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Your comments are welcome on the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a quick voice message. And, of course, emails always encouraged and appreciated. Joey at JoeyHudson.com.
I told you we'd be back.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
It's Joey Hudson.
On our guest line this morning, Senator Tim Scott.
Thank you for listening to one of the best radio shows. Joey, God bless your leadership.
Joey, congratulations on your new show.
I just wanted to let you know that I always appreciate your perspective and your common sense approach to the issues.
You know what? If people like you keep telling us the truth, believe me, we're paying close attention.
Let your voice be heard.
And the truth shall set you free.
Here's Joey Hudson.
Several congressional lawmakers denounced anti-Semitism on college campuses, particularly Columbia University, where anti-Israel protesters briefly took over a part of the Ivy League school campus, again resulting in hundreds of arrests amid the demonstrations that began last week. Columbia University President Dr. Namat Manoush Shafiq said in a statement posted Monday that she was deeply saddened by certain actions of agitators who have formed an encampment on the campus and have riled students and faculty with anti-Jewish slogans and chants. President Shafiq wrote, "I am deeply saddened by what is happening on our campus. Our bonds as a community have been severely tested in ways that will take a great deal of time and effort to reaffirm. Students across an array of communities have conveyed fears for their safety, and we have announced additional actions we are taking to address security concerns. The decibel of our disagreements has only increased in recent days. These tensions have been exploited and amplified by individuals who are not affiliated with Columbia, who have come to campus to pursue their own agenda," she said. U.S. Representative Jared Moskowitz, a Democrat from Florida, visited the university to stand with Jewish students, some of whom have said they don't feel safe on campus. He posted his statement on X.
"I got two young kids. I got a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. I've been away for the last 10 days. I was looking forward to have dinner with them tonight. But instead, I wanted to be here because I wanted the Jewish students at Columbia to know we hear them, we see them, and collectively, not just the folks here, but on a bipartisan basis, we and Congress are going to do something about it. To the president of Columbia, if you want to know what the right thing to do is, I can tell you what the wrong thing to do is. Ask the presidents of UPenn and Harvard. Because we've seen this show before."
Representative Josh Gottheimer, a Democrat from New Jersey, condemned the Columbia protests in which demonstrators briefly set up an encampment on campus. He wrote, "The First Amendment guarantees freedom of speech and assembly, not freedom to harass and intimidate students just for being Jewish." Representative Kathy Manning, also a Democrat from North Carolina, said Columbia must educate its students and faculty about anti-Semitism while ensuring professors are not spreading hatred. She said in a statement, "It is critical that the Department of Education and the Department of Justice work with the White House to ensure that universities take steps necessary to keep Jewish students and faculty safe." Also, U.S. Representative Anthony Desposito, a Republican from New York, called out protests in which pro-Palestinian supporters were heard chanting "Death to America" and "Death to Israel."
And we will continue to fight that good fight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is truly an attack on democracy. It's an attack on our values. When we hear "death to Israel," "death to America," it's a threat to all of us. This is not a political thing. It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. It's the right thing to stand behind Israel, stand behind its people, and do the right thing.
Representative Mike Lawler, also a New York Republican, said he was proud to co-sponsor a resolution introduced by Desposito that condemns the "River to the Sea" chant, which many Jews have described as supporting the eradication of Israel. He noted that 44 members of the House opposed the measure in a vote. "It denies Israel's right to exist," Lawler said, the popular pro-Palestinian saying. "There's nothing aspirational about that, and the fact that 44 of my colleagues can't bring themselves to condemn it is appalling." Meanwhile, students at Columbia University were told in an overnight statement that all classes would be held virtually on Monday as anti-Israel protesters have taken over the campus, its presidents announced. The Columbia University president then condemned anti-Semitic language used by protesters and intimidating and harassing behavior on our campus, she said. She also offered those staging the protest on campus to sit down and talk with those who they differ with. Also, President Shafik is facing calls for her resignation. The Daily Wire published a piece yesterday reviewing some comments that the embattled Columbia University president made just 2 months after the 9/11 terrorist attack in our country. Shafik, who was then vice president at the World Bank, was asked about the economic roots of terrorism in developing countries during an event with the University of California, Berkeley's Institute of International Studies. While she condemned extreme views held by terrorist groups, she said that the reason they are popular is because terrorism is a protest.
So it's not, you'll always have individuals who will have extreme views. But what's really troubling in the region is that there's actually quite a broad base of society which has some sympathy for the terrorists, not so much because they approve of their methods, but it's a form of protesting against a system which is not delivering for them on the economic or the political front.
So terrorism, specifically, terrorism that happened on 9/11 is a form of protest, according to the now president of Columbia University. Representative Elise Stefanik, who has led calls for Shafik to resign as anti-Semitic demonstrations have taken over the Columbia University campus, told the Daily Wire that she believes this view of terrorism is informing her response to the chaotic anti-Israel protests taking place under her watch at Columbia University. She said this video of Columbia University President Dr. Manouk Shafik saying that she can understand why people sympathize with terrorists right after 9/11 and calling it a form of protest is just further evidence that placating the pro-Hamas unsanctioned mob currently taking over Columbia is part of her core beliefs, Representative Stefanik said. 864-477-JOEY, your comments are welcome on the Furman Ford text line, 864-477-5639. Leave a voice message. Emails are welcome, joey@joeyhudson.com. Opening arguments started yesterday in President Donald Trump's so-called hush money trial, and even a CNN panel recognized the lunacy of the court when the judge dismissed the proceedings early because an alternate jury had a dental appointment. Yet the judge has not agreed to allow President Trump to attend his son Barron's high school graduation. Details on the first day in just a moment. First, let me talk with you about PhD weight loss and nutrition. If you're ready to change your life, if you're ready to get healthy, if you're ready to lose that excess weight that you have been carrying around for a number of years now, and you finally have made a decision to do something about it, write this number down right now, 864-252-4925. Put the podcast on pause, 864-252-4925. Get that pen and paper, write the number down, and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition and set up your first consultation. Almost 4 years ago now, I started my journey with PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, and boy, am I glad I met Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team at PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition here in Greenville. Now, they have offices in Asheville, Charlotte, and Lake Norman, and they can do the program anywhere virtually around the country. So if you're listening today and you're in Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, wherever you're listening from, outside of the Carolinas, you can also do this program virtually. 864-252-4925. Of course, if you're here in the Carolinas, I'd love to see you in one of their offices. This will change your life. If you've been thinking about this, maybe you've heard me talking about PhD weight loss and nutrition. Maybe you've been thinking that, yes, it's time to lose that excess weight, but you've just sort of been on the fence. Well, I have one thing to say. PhD works. It just works, and it'll work for you. I lost 30 pounds almost 4 years ago, and the real beauty of this program, I've been able to maintain that weight loss for almost 4 years now. It's not a fad diet. It's not even a diet at all. Dr. Ashley Lucas came up with PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, the program, based on the science of nutrition, what to eat, when to eat, and how to eat. They'll do the same thing for you. Find them online at myphdweightloss.com, the official partner of the Clemson Tigers. A CNN panel yesterday said that they found it striking that an alternate juror in former President Donald Trump's case can attend a dental appointment while the defendant cannot attend momentous events. Opening arguments for Trump's trial related to the $130,000 payment to porn star Stormy Daniels began on Monday, and the judge overseeing the case, Juan Merchan, reportedly ended the session early to allow one of the alternate jurors to attend a dental appointment. Merchan previously ruled that Trump must be in the courtroom throughout the trial because of his status as a criminal defendant, meaning he's not permitted to attend the Supreme Court's presidential immunity argument and may not be able to go to his son Barron's graduation. CNN legal correspondent Paula Reed pointed out the irony of an alternate juror being allowed to leave early for a dental appointment, yet the president can't attend his son's graduation.
Court today was supposed to go to 2. That's an abbreviated day to recognize Passover, but instead it's actually only going to go to 12:30 because one of the alternates has a dentist appointment. So the judge said that he's going to allow that alternate to go to the dentist appointment, saying we can't afford to lose one of our alternates. Anderson?
Which is pretty remarkable to, I'm curious to know what the former president thinks about having to stop today at 12:30 because of a juror's dentist appointment.
And the fact that he can't attend Thursday's historic Supreme Court argument on presidential immunity, and there's an open question about whether he'll be able to attend to his son's graduation. The judge said he'll consider that, but look, he's a criminal defendant. He has to attend every single day of court unless he gets a waiver, but the judge has signaled he's going to work around their schedule.
Two jurors were initially excused last Thursday before the full jury was eventually seated. MSNBC legal analyst Danny Cavallis predicted on Monday that there's a possibility for a mistrial if more jurors are dismissed. Will 6 alternates be enough to cover this trial, he asked during a Morning Joe segment. I hope so. But if what we've seen so far, he said, if that's the rate of loss of jurors, 2 before we even start the trial, that could be a real problem. And that could lead to a mistrial, which in, I think, the defense's view is a win, he said. And it is concerning. More jurors expressing their concern that with all the news coverage on this case, that they cannot be impartial, that they are being influenced. 864-477-5639. Your comments are welcome on the Furman Ford text line. The Chicago City Council was given the green light to an extra $70 million for the care of illegal immigrants in the Windy City, despite a massive backlash from residents that foreign nationals are being prioritized over native Chicagoans. Portions of today's show brought to you by Furman Ford. If you're looking for a new vehicle and you want to deal with a locally owned business, a locally owned family operated dealership like Furman Ford in Lawrence, then let me tell you about Jim and Matthew Furman. Their name is on the sign because their name is on the line, and they take that very seriously. When you call, when you email, when you stop by Furman Ford, you're always going to have access to a member of the Furman family. They'll help you navigate the great deals they have on their great selection of pre-owned vehicles, new vehicles, and if you need service, Furman Ford can help you out there too. Doesn't have to be a Ford. They service all makes and models, and you're not going to have to wait weeks and weeks in order to get that service that you need. And the best part, you know that when you drive off of the lot, that your money is staying right here in our community, right here in the upstate, helping our local economy. For an all-around better buying experience, visit my friends at Furman Ford in Lawrence. Find them online at FurmanFord.com, FurmanFord.com. So the Chicago City Council voted 30-18 to approve the request made by Mayor Brandon Johnson in order to help deal with the ongoing migrant crisis, the illegal migrant crisis that the city's facing. CBS News reported that the vote, which came after an hour of heated debate, accompanied an approval of $48 million in grant money from state and federal governments. That money is on top of $150 million assigned to illegal immigrant care, in the budget that's already there. Mayor Johnson, along with a number of other mayors, have appealed to the federal government for billions more in funding than it's already providing. Jason Irwin, the council's budget committee chair, told CBS, "Yes, this is a challenge. Do we want to spend this money like this right now? Of course not. But again, we have an obligation and we have a responsibility to move this ball forward." What obligation does he think they have? Who has an obligation to feed and house people who are in our country illegally? Use a fraction of that money to put them on a bus and send them back to where they came from. Well, shoot, you can even charter a plane and take them back for a lot less than $70 million. Mayor Johnson's office had said that the funding request was to ensure the city is prepared, quote, should there be any sudden increases in new arrivals sent by Texas Governor Greg Abbott. The city aims to provide basic necessities, including food, shelter, medical care, education, vaccines, case management, and resettlement support. Resettlement support. Get that? According to Johnson's office, the city has, at its peak, been dealing with more than 2,000 migrants coming in each week. Nearly 40,000 have arrived since August of 2022. The mayor has been calling for more funding, national coordination of resettlement, and faster employment documents. Again, Mr. Mayor, this problem goes away pretty quickly and for a lot less money if you just send them back to their home country. Send them back from whence they came. Now, residents aren't too happy about this. They showed up in force at the city council meeting last week to protest the request for more funding ahead of the vote, with furious residents accusing the government of prioritizing funds to illegals that should be going to residents. One black woman wearing a red Make America Great Again cowboy hat said, quote, "We need that money in my neighborhood. We need that money on my block." Her name is P. Ray Easley, and she appeared on Fox News with Lawrence Jones. Here's the exchange.
Illegal migrant crisis. The vote was pushed back after residents called out Mayor Brandon Johnson on Wednesday. Watch.
Asking y'all to use our tax money for our people. We need it.
They're showing up here in New York, in Chicago, attacking people in the streets. The police are fighting with them in the shelters that you guys are funding.
P. Ray Easley was at the city council meeting, and she joins us now. Ma'am, thanks so much for joining the program. So when I look at Chicago, y'all have been struggling for a while, and y'all need resources there. How do you feel about the mayor dedicating those resources to the illegals in your city now?
It's the most disrespectful thing we've ever encountered in our lives. We've been paying property taxes in this city for generations, and to see them so openly give our money to people who don't deserve it is very insulting.
You know, Pierre, when I went to Chicago a few months ago, there were schools that were boarded up, and they said they didn't have any money to fund those schools.
Correct.
But conveniently, they found a way to open them up for the migrants to take refuge.
Correct. And those are not migrants. Those are illegal immigrants.
You're
our
right.
Grandparents are migrants who left the South to come to Chicago, and we can't mix ourselves up with them. But to that point, it's extremely insulting. They've been telling us my entire life that they don't have money for this, they don't have money for that. We have to compromise. We must go without. But now we're seeing that they are able to print money out of the clear blue sky, and we want to know why wasn't our tax money given to us?
You know, this is also, Pierre, a mayor that is prided himself on being a man of the people, helping the community. I haven't seen city council meetings this packed in a while. Is he listening to the people?
I don't think that he necessarily is. They are they, meaning him and his progressive allies, came in with a very strict agenda that they're following to the T. But to that point, I want to thank our mayor for uniting the city in a way that we haven't seen since the 96 Bulls, and that's against him and this progressive agenda.
Oh, I love that. Tell me this. I only got about 15 seconds left. Do you think that the voters there are going to respond at the ballot box?
Absolutely. We are looking forward to bringing back Donald John Trump Sr. as our 47th president. He's the only president who has a plan to close the southern border, which is going to cut off the pipeline of human and drug trafficking that's flooding the west side of Chicago. And we cannot wait to get you back in office, Mr. President. Please come see us in Chicago.
P. Ray Easley, a message to Donald Trump as well to come see the people.
Yes.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
Meanwhile, some residents have been pushing to recall Johnson. A group is currently laying the groundwork by gathering signatures for a ballot referendum to change state law, which currently does not allow for a recall of anyone except the governor. On the Furman Ford text line, yours is welcome, 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Susan writes, Lindsey Graham's the one in the wrong about Putin wanting to overrun Europe. If he wanted to overrun Ukraine, he had a golden opportunity to do so during feckless Obama-Biden administration after they did nothing about the annexation of Crimea. Ace writes, Joey, with Trump up against a leftist judge and a leftist jury, what chance does President Trump have? What is he facing? Sounds like he has absolutely no chance. How can America stand idly by while this witch trial takes place? I think that the Salem accused had a better chance. You know, that whole Salem witch trial is amazing. Back last year, Bill O'Reilly wrote a book about it. And Ace, you're right. I mean, there is a lot of correlation here between what was going on with the Salem witch trials and what took place during that period of time of our history and what's taking place with Donald Trump right now. If you never read Bill O'Reilly's book, it's called Killing the Witches. Let me encourage you to do so. Go back on my YouTube channel and even on some previous podcasts, search for Bill O'Reilly. I interviewed Bill about that. It's a great read. Jeff writes on the Furman Ford text line, if you really stop and think about it, there's no such thing as a Democrat or Republican in today's politics because behind closed doors, every one of his best friends, and they all are about the money for themselves until we have a civil war and fire all of them and put all new people in. This country is going to hell in a handbasket fast. Fred writes, Dom questioning what God allows. Why do folks blame God for tragedies and evil? Why do they not blame the source of evil? If God intervened in the context of Dom described, where should the intervention begin and where should it stop? Satan is having his way now, he writes. Blame him and the fall of man, not our God, whose ways are not our ways, and whose thoughts are not our thoughts. Be assured, God will put a stop to all evil, and it will be according to his perfect will and timeline. To God be the glory. Thank you, Fred. Appreciate that comment. Tony writes, so more money to other countries, but screw the people in your own country, especially the homeless and veterans. Our government doesn't care about us Americans. Our text of encouragement today, Joel writes, a successful man is one who can lay a firm foundation with the bricks others have thrown at him. Appreciate that. Your comments are welcome on the Furman Ford text line, 864-477-5639. Love to get your comments. Joe Biden has been predicting severe consequences of climate change since his first day in office when he signed multiple executive orders pandering to the climate change hysteria. Michael Dorsiewicz, writer for Newsmax, lists its six biggest failed climate predictions of the past. This is pretty interesting. You're going to want to stick around for this. Portions of the day show made possible by Discounted Appliance Warehouse. Are you tired of buying appliances from inexperienced sales staff who have absolutely no appliance knowledge? Appliances are not inexpensive, you know. In fact, they're very expensive. And with so many options, brands, features, it's kind of tough to figure out which one's right for you, isn't it? That's why I encourage you to go to Discounted Appliance Warehouse to do your shopping. They have an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, nearly perfect reviews on Google, and the team at Discounted Appliance Warehouse, they have the knowledge that you're going to need to make a confident purchase, to make a purchase that you know is right for you and your family. They'll show you around the warehouse. They have over 11,000 square feet. It's slam-packed with new appliances, and they'll help you find the ideal solution. And with expert installation, the award-winning service department, and extended warranties, they have you covered well beyond the sale. Discounted Appliance Warehouse, they're also proud to offer Speed Queen the only washers and dryers with up to a 7-year warranty on parts and labor. Discounted Appliance Warehouse, they're located in Pickens and online at dawpickens.com. Former Vice President Al Gore not only won an Academy Award and a Nobel Prize, but also became a gazillionaire by making outrageous and outrageously inaccurate climate predictions. You remember some of the stuff that Al Gore came up with? He's flying around the world on his big jet talking about the climate. Still does, and is paid a lot of money to give a speech. Despite the fact that Gore's poor forecasts have turned his book and documentary film An Inconvenient Truth into works of science fiction, he's still called on occasionally, again, as an expert on climate change. Most recently, sometime back last year, he was a speaker at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. But rather than tempering his views, after he should have learned that some of his predictions didn't come through, his faulty crystal ball, writes Newsmax, seemed to have made him even more unhinged and described rain bombs and boiling oceans. Al Gore was by no means the first. Other so-called climate experts have foretold global doom and gloom for more than a half a century, and we're hearing a lot of that today. That's what Joe Biden wants us to believe, that if we continue, for example, driving these gas-guzzling vehicles, that it's going to kill our climate, and that's why he wants you to spend twice as much money and buy an electric vehicle, a vehicle that won't even take you across country unless you spend hours and hours along the way stopping for a charge. Newsmax writes a list of the top six in chronological order of the failed climate predictions of the past. And I feel like that probably in a couple of decades from now, I won't be around to read it. But Newsmax will be able to write another top six based on some of the climate hoaxes that we're hearing about now. Here's the top six. 1967, global famine by 1975. Newsmax writes, the Salt Lake Tribune reported that it's already too late. We should expect global famine within 8 years, according to a Stanford University biologist, Paul Ehrlich. He warned that the time of famines is upon us and will be at its worst and most disastrous by 1975. Ehrlich, who wrote The Population Bomb, blamed the coming famine on overpopulation and said that governments will eventually have to step up birth control measures and even introduce sterilization agents into drinking water and staple food products. The world population, when he announced his prediction in 1967, was 3.47 billion. By 2020, it had more than doubled to 7.79 billion, and one of the main problems facing Americans is obesity, not hunger. That's number one. Second example that Newsmax writes about, 1969. Headlines, humanity will disappear in cloud of blue steam by 1989. 2 years after Ehrlich predicted famine, he announced that hunger would be the least of our problems. Same guy now. He claimed, we must realize that unless we are extremely lucky, everybody will disappear in a cloud of a blue steam in 20 years. The situation is going to get continuously worse unless we change our behavior, Ehrlich added. We must have been extremely lucky, Newsmax writes. We dodged that bullet too. Fast forward to 1970, Ice Age coming by 2000. The Boston Globe reported in 1970 that we would be in an ice age within 30 years. Now think about that now. With all the climate change that we're talking about and how the earth is getting hotter and hotter and causing all of these storms and national disasters, in 1970, they were predicting that we would be in an ice age by now. The Boston Globe writing, those predictions were later confirmed by space satellites, according to a report in The Guardian. Telltale signs are everywhere, they wrote, from the unexpected persistence and thickness of pack ice in the waters around Iceland to the southward migration of a warmth-loving creature like the armadillo from the Midwest, reported Time magazine. This prediction remained the conventional wisdom until at least 1978, when the New York Times reported that an international team of specialists finds no end in sight to 30-year cooling trend in Northern Hemisphere. 1988, oops, it's global warming and it will swallow land masses. By the late 1980s, Newsmax writes, climatologists traded in their ice age predictions for global warming. Good news, right? Longer crop growing seasons, lower energy usage, and we'll all be walking around with dynamite suntans. Nope. They claim the warmer climate will result in the rise of oceans, which will gobble up land masses. The AFP reported in 1988 that the Maldives, an island nation south of India, would completely disappear in 30 years. That would have been in 2018. Look on Google Earth, and they're still there. A year later and closer to home, climatologist Jim Hansen said that New York City's West Side Highway would be underwater by 2019. I was driving on the West Side Highway just a couple of months ago, by the way. And now it's 2023, 2024, and again, the Maldives remain a treasured vacation destination. And the biggest dangers facing Manhattan motorists are traffic snarls and driver rage. So let's fast forward to 2000. Say bye-bye to a white Christmas, predictors, some of the scientists say. Within a few years, winter snowfall will become a very rare and exciting event, according to Dr. David Viner. He's a senior research scientist at the Climatic Research Unit, CRU, of the University of East Anglia. He said, according to The Independent, children just aren't going to know what snow is. Not only did heavy winter snowfall measure in feet and inches disrupt holiday travel last year, but the Florida Panhandle even saw snow for the first time in memory. 2008, Newsmax writes, the Arctic will totally be ice-free by 2018. NASA climate scientist James Hansen told the AP, we see a tipping point occurring right before our eyes. The Arctic is the first tipping point, and it's occurring exactly the way we said it would. This would be the same James Hansen who predicted in 1989 that Manhattan's West Side Highway would be underwater in 20 years. Hansen, echoing work by other scientists, said that in 5 to 10 years, the Arctic will be free of sea ice in the summer. In his book and film, Al Gore latched on to the earliest year in range and said that the Arctic will be ice-free by 2013. However, by 2015, NASA reported that winter gains in Arctic ice were exceeding summer losses. That net gain continues today. More ice than ever. 2008, you may recall, is the same year that then-candidate Barack Obama claimed he would make all bad things go away. This was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal, said Obama upon winning the Democrat presidential nomination. Maybe he just knew it was all poppycock, Newsmax writes. Michael Dorsiewicz is a retired lawyer. He's been a frequent contributor to Newsmax. He says, and maybe that's why he purchased waterfront property when he left the White House. You know, he did. Obama paid millions and millions for his estate up in the New England area. And he's built a big mansion in Hawaii as well. So that's why we don't have to be concerned about the sky is falling climate changers, because those are some predictions that people got all hysterical about 10, 20, 30 years ago. Never came to fruition. That's it for today's edition of Just the Truth. Hey, appreciate you joining me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio. To lose weight for the last time, visit myphdweightloss.com. If you haven't joined our mailing list, visit my website, joeyhudson.com. Click on the Connect with Joey button so that you can receive our emails and most up-to-date news. In this political season, we're going to be having a lot of forums and debates coming up. Had a great time yesterday in Anderson for the Republican Women's Club 3rd Congressional District debate. There's 8 candidates over there. We had 7 of the 8. there yesterday. And coming up on Thursday, we're going to be in Oconee for the Oconee County Men's Club, also a debate for the 3rd Congressional District. And we're going to be announcing a couple of others coming up pretty soon as we're in a very busy, busy time. Appreciate you spending a few minutes of your day with me. Keep those comments coming via the Furman Ford text line, 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Keep those emails coming to joey@joeyhudson.com. We're back again tomorrow. Hope you'll plan to join us. Until then, remember, God's got this. He's still in control.